And welcome to an episode of the Geeks and Trends. Me, boy, Eli.
It's me, Joe.
So, I was thinking about making this next episode about the recent Gamescom stuff. And you guys should go watch it. The announcements, they're all pretty cool. We got finally got Silk Song coming out in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah. that was a very funny experience for those fans. Granted, I never played the original, the first game.
Yeah.
But I know it was a very popular indie
game. I know you didn't play it because you can't remember the name of it.
Yeah, exactly. But I know...
It's Undertale.
That's not Undertale, dude.
Is it not?
No.
Well, I think it was a different game then.
No, you're... I think you're probably thinking of Deltarune, actually.
Yeah, that's what it was.
No, but the original, Silk Song coming out, point is, we're not talking about that. It's pretty funny that it's taken this long, Hollow Knight.
That's yeah, Hollow Knight, yeah.
Yeah. It's just funny how long it's taken. With all the updates and stuff. I think there's like a Twitter account that was just constantly posting like, it's day something something until Silk Song comes out or whatever. Hopefully, maybe, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There was another big gaming news that happened this week that I feel like kind of dampened the whole Gamescom feeling of like, hey, cool stuff happening, right? Monster Hunter, Final Fantasy crossover, that's cool.
Resident Evil 9 stuff.
Yeah, which looks sick. But all that sort of took a bit of a backseat to the big announcement that Sony made this week, where they were increasing the prices for all of their PlayStation consoles by $50.
Which doesn't sound like a lot.
It doesn't sound like a lot, but then you remember how much these consoles cost. It quickly becomes, oh God. Mm-hmm. Right? Starting... The 21st of August, which by day of recording was yesterday, actually.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 5 went from a $499 console to $549. The PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, which is technically the cheaper version, took that spot as $500 now instead of the $450. And the PlayStation 5 Pro, which was $700, got bumped up to $750, basically. Granted, this is all American pricing, by the way, so I'm assuming this stuff is way more expensive in, like, Australia, Canada, like, any other territory that usually tends to have higher prices than the
US. Yeah, this is something I was really hoping wouldn't happen, because it wasn't that long ago that we talked about the situation that happened with Xbox when them raising their prices. And whether it was, like, say, current situation going on in the world, or just kind of Xbox shooting themselves in the foot every goddamn week.
In terms of just wanting to recuperate console costs, yeah. But this one definitely seems to follow in that sort of trend of the current economic situation going on.
Yeah.
In terms of a lot of these tariffs happening. Sort of just,
It's kind of crazy because usually we expect as the generations go further to the prices to go down and down and down. But this is the exact opposite of it going up.
Yeah, because if I recall, because now I think about it, at least for the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they ever got a price decrease over the past couple years. Because I know, like, obviously, when the PS3 was announced, it was, at the time, $700.
Yep.
A lot of people saw that as way too expensive. I mean, granted, you saw the benefits, right? It had a Blu-ray disc player, right? Which was new at the time. Had all these features, right? Backwards compatibility and stuff. So, retrospectively, it's like, okay, I could maybe see... for the time, why that was expensive, right?
Yeah.
But eventually, the PS3 with its iterative newer updates did get cheaper and cheaper over time to be competitive with the 360, right? Similar thing happened with the PlayStation 4, Xbox One era, where those consoles started, I think, around the 500 mark for both, I think.
No, I think Xbox was a little more expensive.
I think, maybe it was. I think because of the bundle of Kinect, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But over time, both of those consoles did see price decreases as well. But for this generation, though, we haven't seen that at all. I think maybe Nintendo's been the only one to decrease the price of, like, the Switch
mm-hmm.
a little bit. I think it was, like, It might have been like 350, then it just got brought down to 300, and then of course the Switch Lite version came out without the dock, you know, being fully handheld basically.
Yeah. You also got to remember now, because we're talking about it, there was a point that the question was whether or not the Switch price increase would be implemented before its release.
We're talking about Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Which, ultimately, Switch 2 didn't have that big of a price, right?
Yeah.
But, of course, I think as of recently, some of the accessories went up, right?
So yeah.
I think it's technically like $90 for Switch Cons.
For the Joy-Cons?
Wow. Yeah, I mean, Sony did come out and say that none of the accessories, like the controllers or the PlayStation Portal thing, are going up in price either. So, I mean, that's probably the best news of that segment. But, yeah, it's still one of those, like, it's disheartening, it's sad that this is starting to happen, especially considering, like, realistically, for people who wanted to, say, upgrade to the PS5 Pro, like, I mean, do you really want to do that at this point when it's, like, $750 in the U.S. alone?
Damn, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy when you think about...
That's someone's paycheck, dude.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I get that there's probably going to be some people that I think I've already seen some comments about it being like, well, just don't buy it, or, you know, like, why do you need to buy the console or whatever, that sort of thing, which is, on the one hand, fair, but at the same time, it's one of those weird things of, like, you're blaming people for buying stuff that they want.
Yeah.
Like, it's their money, they can choose to spend it however they want. I understand that maybe, yes, you should exercise a bit more financial responsibility. But at the same time, like, it's still kind of, like, one of those things of, like, well, this is kind of suck. Again, like, I could totally see us getting the next generation of consoles, maybe, like, a PS6 or whatever, in the next, like, 3 to 4 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And that console might, who knows how much that's going to cost, honestly.
There's no way it would be less than what it is now, because there's a reason for the price increase, and there's also a reason for a lot of that stuff. I mean, like, with... Like, the sad part is it ended up... We kind of knew at some point this might end up happening, and we didn't want it to happen, but, like, the forces at play right now are just kind of in that sort of opposite end. PlayStation is, like, the most popular console out right now. It's outselling probably both Switch and, well, I wouldn't say outselling Switch.
Well, it has a larger install base at the moment, but obviously Switch 2 has been a redounding success so far in terms of console sales, I believe. I think it's like, what, like the most consoles sold in like an opening launch, at least domestically in the U.S.?
Let me tell you, Donkey Kong Bonanza, that's a fun game.
Yeah, it's a fun game. Obviously the new Mario Kart helps. We're getting the next Pokemon Legends game this year, along with Metroid Prime 4, pretty much. You know, listen, once we get mainline Mario, a new mainline Zelda, and of course, a new Smash Brothers, God willing. No, listen, Sakurai's back from the dead. He's making Kirby Air Riders, dude.
Actually, I would buy it for I'll play Kirby Air Rides. That new character looks kind of cool.
Yeah, but anyways, you know, point is, Sakurai has been brought back from the dead. He's awoken once again, and maybe he's now been locked into a random room somewhere by the Nintendo higher up to be like, now you make Smash Brothers. We let you make Kirby Air Riders. Now get in there and make Smash again. It's like, no.
But it won't be at Evo.
You don't know. You don't know, man. Maybe Nintendo will finally be like, hey, let's support the Smash community. No, I'm just kidding.
No, that's
not going to happen. Anyways, though, back to the serious topic at hand, though.
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of sad. Like, again, Xbox is kind of been shooting themselves in the foot every other minute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you know, that was bound to happen. You're also just canceling, like, a lot of studios, so this is kind of on you. But the pricing thing, I'm like, I don't even know if that's more you or just more just, like, again, just things being the way they are. So, like, that one, I'm like, yeah, I mean, that one, I'm not going to let fully slide, but, you know, everything else, I'm like, you didn't think that would be a good idea, did you? You didn't think that, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Cancel Perfect Dark. Sure. Well, even then, like, there's still, like, they're both Sony and PlayStation, let's be fair, are also shutting down studios, which is not as an alarming rate as Xbox, but it's still kind of both sad.
Yeah, it's just all kinds of not great. I did see on an article from Polygon,
mm-hmm.
at least because I was just trying to make sure we got the right details for the story here, that back in, I think, May, I believe, the mm-hmm. Sony president was contemplating seeing how these tariffs were going, right, of, like, how possible would it be to move productions of PS5s to the U.S., which is partially the reason why these tariffs are happening in the first place. The current administration believes this will push foreign, like, you know,
yeah,
production back to the U.S., that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
If I'm reading this correctly, the chief financial officer for Sony was talking about how it would create a financial impact of 100 billion yen, which is about 684 million U.S., from these tariffs across the divisions. And then ultimately, Sony decided just to not do that because I'm guessing, like, ultimately half the reason why, if you want to have an economic lesson here, half the reason why a lot of these production jobs and, like, say, like, clothes, like, a lot of these sort of lower-end, like, production jobs move out of the U.S. to other countries like Mexico and China and stuff is because it's cheaper to do it there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the reality is that the U.S., we have, like, what, minimum wage fares? Like, I think where we live, it's, like, $7.50 for minimum wage.
Yeah.
Point is, like, none of these companies want to pay that much to their workers for just making shoes and technology, like, machine parts and stuff, and they find it easier and cheaper to do that in China, for example, right?
Yeah.
So that they pay their workers pretty much dirt cheap, basically. So they save money. So it becomes this sort of recurring trend of, like, okay, we'll tariff these countries so that way maybe we can move them back to where we want them here, but companies don't want to pay us Americans our fair share, basically. So it kind of becomes this sort of thing of, well, we're getting tariffed, we're not going to raise our prices to anything here, so pretty much we're just going to push the expenses onto the consumer, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how these tariffs are working now, because, again, as we've seen now, Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo have all increased their prices for their technology stuff because they do this in a bit of, like, we're sorry we have to do this. Just to let you know, we're sorry. We don't want to do this.
We definitely don't.
And maybe Sony doesn't have to do it because they are profiting off the PlayStation, right? It's, again,
yeah,
the bigger of the brands, you know, has a large market base and everything. But it's at the end of the day, it's like, we don't want to spend all that money.
Mm-hmm.
So our best way of recuperating the cost is to pass those tariff costs onto you, the consumer, right? Granted, this is just my understanding of the situation. Of course, I'm not an economic expert. I am not a licensed whatever you call it.
Mm-hmm.
So forgive me, audience, if I've gotten something wrong. You can type it in the comments and disagree or whatever you want to do. But yeah, I mean, that's sort of where we're at right now.
Yeah.
And it's, again, like we said, a bit...
It's disheartening, like, because, like, you know, this is not only just going to affect the consoles, but also all the forms of gaming, too. It's just really hard for, like, a lot of what essentially is one of a lot of people's favorite hobby, whether it be, like, something competitive or just, like, you know, just, like, playing, say, something chill and relaxing as Animal Crossing, right? It's not that expensive. I can pay, like, around, what, $60 at the time and just, like, you know, spend hours and hours, but now it's like, oh, now I have to, like, see if whether or not this is going to increase in price and this is going to affect my, you know, all this stuff. And then you have all these kind of other, then there's these games that, like, try to monetize everything to the point where it's like, man, I feel like I don't want to play this game anymore. I just want to try to take my money for everything.
Yeah. I will say, though, the interesting news to come out in the wake of this announcement was from good old GameStop, right?
Oh, yeah, GameStop.
GameStop.
Sometimes it'll come through. Sometimes.
Yeah. Anyways, so GameStop came out, I think, when the announcement came out, that they were essentially doing a promotion for this whole price exchange, right?
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much GameStop would be helping cover the cost of this price increase, right? Pretty much, if when you trade in, if I'm reading this correctly, when you trade in any of your older gen consoles, mainly your PS4s, your Xbox One's, you know, that sort of stuff,
yeah,
that they would essentially cover the cost of the price increase. So basically, you get like a $50 credit that goes towards you getting a PlayStation 5, right?
Yeah, there's gonna be a lot of people like, why can't it be more? It's like, oh, I mean, like, it's...
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, obviously, I think that's the other, I guess, the critique that someone would go with. It's like, well, how not? Why not more? Obviously, it's, I think it's promotional, one, right? It's the, it kind of takes advantage of that sort of thing. Of,
yeah.
Hey, if you want to upgrade now, do it now by trading in your old console, which, you know, I feel like at this point, a lot of the people that play that still have a PlayStation 4 should probably take if they want to get to a PS5 at this point, if you haven't already.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's probably just, that saves you a decent amount.
Yeah.
And if I recall correctly, PlayStation 4 games are backwards compatible anyway, so you don't have to trade in your library if you need to.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's a nice bright spot in terms of the unfortunate news,
yeah,
right? Of, like, GameStop, you know, obviously not having the best reputations, you know.
No.
But, you know, clearly showing that, hey, you know, we want to do at least a nice gesture, right, of like, hey, you can just do this.
Yeah.
We'll give you a $50 credit that goes into buying a new console,
mm-hmm,
that sort of thing. You know, help you cover the cost a bit, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'm not exactly sure, if you also get, like, because I know when you sell your old consoles and stuff, you probably do get some money back. I don't know if they also will give you money for that as well. I don't
mm-hmm
know. But, so it's certainly interesting, in my opinion, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's just really tough, man. It's just really, really a hard time. Gaming has now become a very expensive hobby, and I know there's some people who are like, why don't you just, like, you know, get a PC, and I'm like, do you know how much PCs are worth? Like, they're a lot.
I mean, I think that's kind of one of those common PC master race comments, of like, just buy a PC, it's cheaper. Which, I mean, yeah, I guess you could probably say that in the long term, but the asking price of, like, even just a made PC is still kind of high. I know there are tons of tech channels, you don't have to put in the comments or whatever, like, just go, you can just build a PC on the cheap or whatever by doing this and that. And it's like, I understand that, just there are some people that don't want to do that. Like, I think the thing about consoles is the convenience,
yeah,
right, of just getting
exactly
a machine and that plays games. And you don't really have to do much to set it up or anything,
no.
Right? You just plug it into the wall, plug it to your TV, and it works fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get your internet connection going, but that's sort of the thing about the gaming consumer base. It's just, they want convenience. And, again, don't get me wrong, you can just buy a pre-made PC, but sometimes those can cost a bit. And that initial price tag is daunting. And I would probably agree that maybe, essentially, you probably do spend less by just getting a gaming PC or gaming laptop if you want to do that. Because realistically, you don't need to get a new one unless it sort of breaks down on you, like your battery just dies and there's no replacement for it, right? So you could just replace the parts if need be.
I was
right?
gonna say, like, half the time for me when it comes to talking conscious of PCs, it's usually they always trust someone else to build it for them, or they themselves build it, and that in itself is it's its own little hobby.
Yeah,
and to get into a new hobby like that, that takes some time. You kind of need to like learn the ins and outs,
and whether or not you're committed to do it. Right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Because like I like to, you know, I sometimes collect comic books. I obviously like to make like Gunpla model kits, and like those will often always be more of cost more than convenience, because I can just build them whenever I can, and like I'm always. But it's always been like, hey, you know, I don't think I have enough room for it. I want to build this new one, but I don't got room for it,
uh-huh.
kind of stuff. Or I have to figure out like a cool way to like maneuver around that issue. But like people would look at me and like, that looks annoying. I'm like, yeah, but once you get into it, it kind of becomes almost therapeutic, right? So it's like it's a hobby. It's something that's kind of like, you know, you want something you want to spend your time with and do stuff like picking up an instrument. It's kind of like that with PCs to me, in my mind. So it's like, I'm not saying I'm not against it, but it's one of those things I'm like, I feel like I need to commit to it if I'm going to do it. I don't know if I want to get someone else to do it for me.
Right, right. And I would argue, too, that, I mean, let's face facts here. We're also getting some of that price increases for PCs as well. I mean, look at the market if you want, like, a really good graphics card.
That's true.
Right? Like, it's not,
They tend to be bought up by bots a lot faster than most people.
Yeah, you have to face the scalper market there too, right? Like, saying the phrase just buy a PC is not the end all be all as one would make it. Because, again, oftentimes they're probably facing as much issues as the PlayStation and Xbox. Because remember, all these computer parts, a lot of them get made in like China or Taiwan and, you know, those places, right? Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of graphics cards get made in Taiwan, so. Yeah, you're going to be facing some tariff costs there.
Yeah, you can't just get like a regular like computer set up and just be like, oh, I'll just download Steam. Yeah, there's no way that regular computer of yours is going to be able to handle all that.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the game, obviously. But that's the thing too, right? Depending on what games you want to play. Like, if you just want to play some like puzzle games or like old like retro style games, then yeah, probably a decent PC could get it for you. But if you want to play like the major next gen games coming out, right?
Mm.
You have to have a pretty decent graphics card, you know, make sure your memory and all that stuff is good. Like, pretty much, like, if you want, like, again, like, it's like, if you want a PC that can last you quite a while, then you need to definitely look up, do your research, find the right parts that fit well with what you want, and then build it. And for, again, a lot of people, they don't want to do that. You know, it's too inconvenient for them to do that.
Some people still have the same PC from like 5-10 years ago. That's because they're most likely not playing anything that's too, you know, graphics consuming.
Yeah. And also they probably planned out how they wanted their PC to go and just could see where, like, the high end of what they wanted, right?
Mm.
Like, again, at the end of the day, that sort of thing, it's all about convenience. At least when it comes to the consoles, right?
Yeah.
Like, people want convenience when they play video games.
Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, I mean, I'm not in the hurry to buy a PlayStation, so I'm not bothered. I'm like, that's fine. That's again, this isn't about that. It's more like, well, this is gonna be more for people who are into, you know, that, you know, who are thinking about getting a PlayStation. Or any of the newer consoles, or anything high end in terms of PC wise, it's just like this is like something that's gonna end up coming after you,
mm-hmm.
than anything else, which it's the suckiest part, and you know, we're gonna have to face this as we go on, and you know, I don't like to be like doom scrolly or whatever, but it was bound to happen, and it's happening, and it's like, oh, well, we're going to find a way around this to help each other out.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the solutions aren't as easy as one would make, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. I mean, there's really nothing we can do at this point in terms of seeing any of these prices go down anytime soon. I mean, who knows? I don't know if they, you know, because oftentimes some of these tariffs things, and I think that's the other issue, is that sometimes, you know, they do go down, some other times they go back right up. And I don't know if it's just sort of a tactical thing from the current administration or what, but I think that that uncertainty is what is driving a lot of these price increases, because at the end of the day, you know, Sony and Microsoft, you know, and Nintendo just don't know when, if ever, these tariffs will decrease or just be straight up lifted. So they're hedging their bets on that not being a thing happening in the near future. So they'll increase the prices of certain things just to, you know, place safe bets, right? And unfortunately, the consumer audience, you know, we don't really have much of a choice here either. And yeah, it's like either we buy these consoles at higher prices, right? Like with the Switch. Or we ultimately have to figure out some way to get around this stuff. And I don't know how we're gonna do that. So if you're ever interested in buying a PlayStation, you know, good luck to you, I guess.
Yeah, but like, hopefully things get better. Hopefully the gaming market is able to find a way around this and able to still give people what they need and what they want. And until then, I'd say try out like old, like, you know, retro games, or, you know, games that don't really cost that much. I guess, I don't know. But anyways, I think that's a good point to end it. You got anything else to say? I'm kind of done.
No, nothing. I think we've touched up on as much as we can talk about when it comes to the price increases. Just you know, Sony was sort of, I think, maybe the last one to hold out a bit, and now they've increased their prices as well. So,
whether it be like, and like a lot of people's like, oh, it's just $50. Like, yeah, $50 plus like the $500 it's already cost.
Yeah, you know, it's yeah, I guess in the grand scheme of things, technically, it's like, well, these $50, you know, like, it's not that big of a deal. And it's like, well, when it costs already this much and you're adding the extra 50, I just pointed out the prices. It pushes the PS5 Pro, which is already $700, to $750, which is, like, I don't think any console's gotten close to going in the $800 range. And that's the thing, too, where I think in my brain, I'm like,
does the Xbox have done it on it? No.
No, I don't think so. Like, in my brain, I don't think of any console or whatever that has gotten close to $800. And remember, people are probably buying like an extra controller, games as well to play, and then that balloons up.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like if with the PlayStation, if you get a PlayStation 5 that costs like $700, I mean, like, or $800, you're usually getting like two games and a controller out of that, or something around those lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that's feasible. You're buying a bundle. You're not just buying a single console. But I think that's about as much as we can say. Obviously, it's always dependent on you as a consumer to do what you feel like you want to do with your money. And if this makes you not want to get one, I totally get it. But I think that's a good place to end it. And, you know, hopefully it gets, we're able to pull through and get things get better, as I've been saying. But it's been me, your boy Eli.
It's me, Joe.
And if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Most likely at Devon on Instagram, where you find a link to all podcasts that are pushed part of, like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, and a link to the YouTube for you audio listeners that want to replace the voice. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, and a Patreon for more support. And yeah, that's about it today. Hopefully the next episode will be a little more cheerier. We'll find something. But anyways, you guys have a good one. Peace.